I don't have much to say to you today, but I have something to say. But if you give me just 30 minutes, I will start and finish what I want to say to you. So, 45, so we're good then. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has brought us near to you by the sacrifice on the cross. He died and bled for my sins. He took upon himself my shame, my sin, and you judged him instead of me. How should I live, Lord, this life that I live? I should live it to you, for your glory, for your Son, which is our song every day. He is the pearl, Father. He is the diamond that is in front of us all the time. And he is so beautiful and so precious to us that when we go to trials, difficulties, it holds us together. It holds us looking forward. This life will pass away, but your Son and his work stands forever. And we just thank you, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you will meet with us tonight, and maybe somebody will be helped and maybe pointed to your Son, which is worthy of everything, of our trials and our difficulties and our problems and everything, Lord, that you bring about in our lives. Father, you design it for your glory. You know how to get the fruit out of us, and you will do that. You promise that. And we thank you because you are God, you are Father, and your design is perfect. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for these dear brothers that have been a help to me, a help in so many ways, their example, their faithfulness, their love for you, their love for your people. And it's exemplary, Father, to me, that I may run in the same manner and would like to imitate their faith, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for Brother Lee, his faithfulness, Lord, to you, O Lord, in this place. And help us, Father, to, in the same manner, to be faithful where you call us. No matter what stands and what doesn't come or what comes, that we might stand firm, loving your people and helping them, Father, to you, Lord. We ask you to help us this tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him perfectly? Do you love him at all? Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is very imperfect, but yet there is love there. And the Lord will bring it out of us, will test it, and will refine it. And you might go through all, the whole of your life being tested and refined, and the Lord will get glory out of you. And one of the things that we must learn, and I need to learn, is that one thing the Lord wants us to always have in our heart is love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to talk to you today and tomorrow about the love of Christ, or love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, I would like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ control us, or as the Spanish says, pushes us. Because we we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And it says right here, the love of Christ. Not only the love that Christ died for our sins, but that we feel for the Lord. That we, our eyes have been opened. And we desire to glorify Him in everything that we do in our lives. And it hurts us when we don't glorify the Lord. It really makes us sad, and we hurt inside when our lives don't glorify Him. And the love of Christ is so important. The love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you can pin one thing about Christianity, is this: that every single Christian, wherever they may be, they might have the wrong eschatology. They might not know the sovereignty of God in salvation completely. They might know some things about the Scripture, but one thing they know, and they all have in common, they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Their love might be imperfect, like ours, but one thing is true about every single Christian: we love Christ. And in fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. He is so sure about the doctrine that he pins it in just one thing. He doesn't mumble it. He says it this way. He said, if anyone has no love for the Lord, you see, he says, if anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Our Lord cometh. Or Maranatha, that's the way they say it. But the difference between the world, the beats that they go and they, their lives they live, the music they hear, I'm talking about it spiritually talking, the drum beat that they hear, it is not Jesus, and the Lord is something else. But the Christian is attentive to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His example, to His life. And we love Him. We love Him. We truly love Him without seeing Him. Our love will be put to the test time after time. Our love, our true love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, my love for the Lord, I confess it right now, it is imperfect. It is imperfect. But I am pressing on. I'm still loving Him. I want to love Him. I want it to be perfect. That's my aim. That's my desire. But I know in me, my love for the Lord is imperfect. But I press on. And I want one day to be perfect. But our love will be tested. Our allegiance to Christ will be tested. Just like, look in John. John chapter 13. I have several verses here. And I don't think I will be doing something wrong. Just read the Bible, right? John chapter 13, verse 37. It says right here, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Sometimes our zeal takes our best of us. Sometimes we say things that really we don't understand. Sometimes we speak out of turn. Say, Lord, I love you, I love you. Well, you don't love me that much. Let me just show you how much lack of love you have for me. And it's not a bad thing for us to know what our limit is, so we can trust in Christ even more. And Peter says, you know, I'm going to lay down my life for you, Lord. I will lay my life down for you. That's a very sentimental thing. I mean, sometimes our love is sentimental. But the Lord tests him, his allegiance, in Matthew 26, 33. And his allegiance is not with the Lord. He promised to the Lord his love and his fervency in every situation. He said, you know what? Even my brothers, even the other disciples, if they leave you, I'm not going to leave you. We have to understand that our brethren, are the same as us. We do struggle with our love, and our love is tested. Look in Matthew 26, verse 35. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. I will not." You see, that's our "will not." God has it. You know, "I will never forsake you." Like Brother Russell was preaching, we say many times, "I will not do this for, I will love the Lord." And then we fall flat on our face. That's just to show us that our love for the Lord is not, but we need Him constantly. One brother was saying that before he does anything during the day, he gets happy in the Lord, or glad in the Lord, joyful in the Lord. And I think we have to do that, brother, because that's one thing that the devil wants to steal from our hearts is the joy and the joy of loving the Lord Jesus Christ and just simply serving Him. And He promised that. He promised completely love for Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to show us that our love is imperfect. Think about it. If our love was completely perfect, we would need nothing else. We would do everything correctly. We would need grace. But I know, I don't know about you, but I feel it in my soul that my love for the Lord lacks. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, the Lord tells them, "Listen, what you think of yourself, the way you rank yourself, the way you rank your love, that's a lot that you're not seeing." Says like this, Matthew 26, 31, he says, "Then Jesus said to him, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." He tells Peter, "Your love is lacking. You think too much of you, too highly of you." What we feel in our love when we have glorious victories with sin, and we feel the victory in our soul, and we feel the glory of God in our lives, and we see another poor soul that is struggling with sin, what do we do? Do we say, "Oh, I will never do that"? First of all, you're judging him, and you're judging yourself highly than him. And you know what Paul says? I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "I don't judge myself." And even if I have nothing to, my conscience is clear, even if I don't have anything that my conscience is pointing out, that doesn't acquit me, he says. The Lord does that. And the Lord tells Peter, "You will fall. Your love is not as strong as you think you are." It is. So what do we need? Well, I think, brothers, that we always have to walk very in a fine line, being careful that we are loving Christ constantly and checking our motives and why we're doing things. Even the things in the church, even in the preaching. We have to question, why am I doing this? And we know what happened to Peter. He fell, but he fell for a purpose. He fell for a purpose to show that not only that his love for Christ was lacking, but Christ's love is perfect for him in his need. One thing that I have learned in this past, I don't know, 2 years, is that when the devil comes at me and says, "Look at you, you have failed in this. And you know what? I remember one time Brother Conrad said, advised me to say this to the devil. He said, you know, just agree with him. And I agree and say, you're right. But I'm not a child of God because of that. My love for the Lord is real. And I am saved not by what I do, but what he did on the cross. But our love is being tested, questioned. It's not perfect. The problem with the disciples when Jesus was taken away and the disciples ran and fled, we have to remember that this is the same thing happens to us daily in our work. I was telling Brother Wyman that recently my job transferred me to Mount Pleasant just temporarily for 2 months. I was driving an hour and 45 minutes to Shreveport every single day, one way. And I was dead tired. And I was crying and thanking the Lord, even a mule rests. And I am so tired, Lord. I am so tired. And he gave me 2 months with my family. For 2 months, I was just driving 10 minutes. And now I'm going to have to drive back. They reject my complete transfer to close to Mount Pleasant. And I was telling this brother, Brother Wyman, I was telling him, brother, I told my supervisor that I'm praying about this. And he's watching. He's not a Christian. And he's watching how much I have for the Lord. Our love is tested. Our love is tested. Let me just give you, in the next minutes, let me just give you what happens. What happens to a church and to a person when there's lack of love. We are never, listen, we have church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Some of you don't have Wednesday nights, some of you do have Wednesday nights. But I tell you one time, whenever we meet together, we are never promised in this that the church will be there. If our lack of love, if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord can take away his candlestick. Now, I want you to see this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 36. Revelations 2, 3 to 6, I'm sorry. 2, 3 to 6. Tomorrow I would like to talk to you. I was going to give you a little bit of an introduction for tomorrow, but this is a church. This is Ephesus. Mighty work of God done through the preaching of Paul. At the beginning of the church when he was founded. You can read that in Acts. Just like everything, you're not careful in the way you walk. You trust too much on yourselves, and little by little, you will get cold. Little by little, your love for the Lord will dwindle down. And listen, the devil likes that. The devil likes for us to be doctrinally sound. He wants that. He doesn't have a problem with Reformed theology or Calvinism. He has a problem with people living and loving Christ. Look what he says. He says right here. Look what he says. To the angel of the Lord of Ephesus, write these words of him who holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks among the seven golden lamps. I know your works. You toil. And you are patient in your patience, endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and found themselves to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary, but I have this against you. Just one thing. Just one thing, brothers. Not three or four. One thing. That you have abandoned the love you had at first, or your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You know, I'm thinking about myself here. When I look at this passage, I said, well, these people had works. I mean, they were laboring in the things of God. They were doing things. It was a church. You can call it a church that was doing a lot of stuff. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, to you might be, but to the Lord it's not. I mean, we look and we judge other churches and say, well, that's a great church. Look what they're doing. Well, that's what we see. That's what we can see. But what does the Lord see? He says, yeah, you have all these things. But he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to go over there and take your lampstand or your lampstick because you don't do anything. He said, you have plenty of things, plenty of works to show for. And what does he call it? Toils and endurance. Talking about weathering the storm. I mean, these people were not just, you know, just here now and gone tomorrow. They stand. They were firm. They were like a building, you know, hit on both sides, and they stood. That's a good thing, isn't it? You don't want people and brethren that any single problem, you know, they scatter away. That's a good thing to endure trials and difficulties and just go forward even though you have problems on every side. That's a good thing. He says patient endurance. And not only that, they were doctrinally sound. Sound people, sound doctrine. He says right here, you can obey those who are evil. And not only that, but you have tested people that say they're apostles and they're not. They question and they have doctrine and they could, you know, sense and hear and say, that's wrong. That person is teaching wrong doctrine. I mean, all that stuff is a good thing. It's good stuff. But you can have all that stuff and not have love. There's a revival on Calvinism, Reformed theology, grace doctrine. The one thing we must do, do not trust in doctrine, but in Christ, and have that relationship with Him. Don't just say in your heart, I'm a Calvinist, or I'm a grace man, or no. The relationship between a Savior and somebody who has been saved. The love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. That's the one of the things that fuels our ministry, that fuels the love of God. And we must not leave that behind, because we can do a lot. And Jesus said in John 15, whenever you are finished doing and doing and doing and doing and doing, we have done nothing, because we have done it by our power. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, foment that love. The reason that you don't feel glorious, happy, and glad for the things of God is not because you don't have the right doctrine. It's because of that communion with the Lord Jesus daily. The Bible says right here, the Lord speaks to them and He says, you know, you have tested those who call themselves apostles and they are not. You have tested them. Oh, yeah, that man has wrong doctrine. We're going to refute that guy. Some people are feel that way. We're going to refute them. That's okay. Well, that's good. But we can go around refuting people. That doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. I know you are enduring patiently and bear up for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Can somebody love the name of Christ and don't love Christ? Have fallen? That's what he says, right? I mean, that's what he says. The text says, you have done this for my name's sake. But at the same time, he tells them, you know what? You have fallen for your love. How is that? How can somebody love the name of Christ and his name's sake and have fallen and don't love Christ the way they need to for love him? I think it speaks to me that my love should be real. Should be a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you have endured, he said, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned. And the word there, abandon, means to just leave. Leave your post. Go AWOL. You have left it. Like something that you throw out of the window and just leave. Something that is not important. When people put their eyes in missions, we have to have the right heart for that. When we put our eyes in ministry, we have to have the right heart for that. It has to grow like a plant out of the root of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been guilty of that. But he says here that he has one thing against us. And what is, I mean, how does he take this one thing, just one thing? Can somebody just have one thing wrong and everything be wrong? You know, he tells the man that was rich. He comes and bows down to him and starts telling him all these nice words. And he said, you know what? We know that you come from God. He says, you know, good. And Jesus tells him, you know, you don't know what good is. And then he tells him, you know, I have kept all the commandments since young. And he tells him all these things. And Jesus tells him, well, you know, you need many things. He tells him, you need one thing, just one thing. Can somebody go to hell just for one thing? I believe so. This church, I believe that was closed or left alone by the Lord. If they didn't repent, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He says right here that, you know what, I have one thing. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. This sin, this one sin that this church has committed, is they have left the Lord Jesus Christ, his fervent love for them, for him, that they show from the beginning. And he says right here, what I'm going to do, if you don't repent, I will come and remove the lampstand from his place. Now, I don't know about you, but today, we don't need no lampstands. We have light bulbs. But it will be exactly like this. Say this. I'm going to cut off the lights. Now, what are you going to do if the lights are cut off? If all the lights are out? You're going to be in the dark. Have you ever been in the dark and know it? You cannot grab anything. I don't want to be there. I'm going to fight. I want to press on. I want to love Jesus. I want to fight for my love for the Lord. I want to press on. And if you have fallen in this idea that, you know, well, the Lord understands my position, listen to me. This happens to this church. He tells them, you have left me, your first love. And one thing that that I wanna say before I even close is that the Lord Jesus Christ takes it very seriously where your heart is. Just like your wife takes it very seriously where your heart is. Honey, what are you going to do that for? Well, you know what? You tell me and tell me. I just want to do it because, you know, I don't want to hear you tell me again. Well, that's not the right reason. I want you to do it because you love me. I want it to come out from your heart. It's very simple, I think. So simple that the devil makes it so muddy the water a lot. Jesus said it this way. I am the branch, right? Let's read that passage, and I'm going to give you another passage with that we close. I want to read from John chapter 15. I don't want to misquote it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes and may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Abide in me. That's it. Abide in me. Abide. Just abide. Just abide in Christ. Just have that relationship with the Lord daily. Just soak yourself with his love and just worship him, you know, just abide. He's not asking you to be missionary over there or do this or do that. Just abide. Just simply live every day and every year and every decade just to love Christ. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you can you unless you abide in me. That's simple. What is my goal? My goal is to be faithful to the Lord, to abide in him. Just to abide in him. That's my desire. Let me give you one more verse. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he appointed 12, who he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. What was the point? Yes, to be with him. Yeah, they were sent out, but the first instance was just to be with him. Just to have communion with him. What is a Christian walk? Is just to have communion with Christ. Just that. Here I am, Lord. Do whatever you want with me. You are my glory, Lord. You are everything to me. You do whatever you want in my life. You know, whatever you want. I am here, Lord. Just do whatever you want. I want to love you. I want to love you about everything. I want to love you about my job, about my family, about everything. And just I want to love you, Lord. Can you pray that? We have to pray that all the time. I want to love you, Lord. Teach me to love you. Help me to love you, Lord. I don't want to be full of works and no love. I don't want to be full of just patience and endurance and have no love for you. What is that? Lord, help us. Lord, don't let the devil muddy your mind. The first thing is love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't love him, you don't belong to him. But I tell you one thing, even if you have fallen into sin, I will tell you this. If you love him every single time you sin, you hate it. You hate it. And to me, you know what I say? You're not of that. You're not a different father. You're not of that stuff. You know when the Christian is more happy and gloriously at peace is when he's loving Jesus. I hope that I just wanted to exhort you, brothers. It's simple. The Christian life is a simple thing. Love the Lord. Love Him. If you're not loving Him like the way you should know that you should love Him, well, just ask for forgiveness and press on and just tell Him, Lord, I want to love You, Lord. I want to love You. That's all I have, brothers. I hope somebody is helped tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank You because we can say we love You because You love us first. In our hearts, in the past, there was no love for Your Son. We didn't care. We used Your name in vain and we didn't care about Your word and sin. Sin was just like Job said, like water, drinking water. But now, Lord, we love You. We want to be what You want us to be. We want to do what You want us to do. We don't want to sin against You. We don't want to. We hurt inside when we displease You. And we long for the day that when sin will be put away and we can see You face to face just like You are. Help us, Lord. Help a Christian here. Help somebody here, Lord, that You will help them in their mind, that You will bring peace, Lord, that it's a simple thing. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. We want to love You. And I just ask You, Lord, that You will help us when the devil comes and tempts us and tells us things about ourselves that we can just say, yeah, look at the cross. My sin has been nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. I love the Lord Jesus. I belong to Him. We just thank You, Father, for showing such a great love on the cross that we might die too in the same manner for Your sake, Lord, for Your glory, for our benefit and for our joy, Lord. We ask You by the mercies of Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.